Well, Father, we surely do thank you for tonight and just the electricity in the room, Father. We thank you, Father God, that you are always able to see us through each and every storm of life. We thank you, God, for the joy that's in the atmosphere. We thank you, Father God, that you are with us tonight, all of your glory, all your angelic host, and you are completing the work that you have begun. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Sister Elaine brought something up that I want to bring up too. Please don't let your children go out on Halloween night. That's the night that Satan kills the most babies. And, you know, just like little Isaiah, every time he sees an outfit, I'm not dressing you up. Don't let your kids dress up either. That's just another way of entertaining the devil. You know, that is not, I mean, the devil took October 31st and twisted it. It is a wonderful day for God. I was going to bring that and I forgot it, but it does have a really good meaning, but now the devil's taking it for his glory. And right now he's done an awful lot of destruction, you know, in the atmosphere, the witches and everybody. But the enemy, the witches are out there, and they really are trying to get the curses put on the people. But you're a child of God, and you're covered with the blood, and the curses cannot touch you. Amen? Always remember that. I don't care what's going on in your body or in your life. You just tell the enemy he's a liar. Don't give in to his circumstances. Just hold your head up high and walk on with him, with God. All right, let's get down to the teaching tonight. Jesus came to set the captives free. God, this is what God told me, we are in a war, and the war is over souls. See why you're being fought? Each one of you, I think, God appointed a million souls to you, did he not? So that's why you're in a war. And God also said, in this war, we must be the vessels to set the captives free. Get that statement tonight. In this war, we must be the vessels to set the captives free. Luke 2:7 said, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now that was Jesus. The Father's Savior for mankind started from humble beginnings. And as I was writing that, I thought about every one of you in here, including myself. We all started from humble beginnings. We weren't out there with a silver spoon in our mouth or anything. We started with humble beginnings. But God knew the entire world was dependent upon the success of his mission, of Jesus' mission. So see, God also knows that these million souls he assigned to you, you cannot fail your mission. You have to bring those souls into the kingdom. How can I reach a million souls? You'll be surprised how God will do that. Psalm 102:19 says, the Lord will look down from his holy place above. He will look down at the earth from heaven. He will hear the prisoner's prayers. He will free those who were condemned to die. Now, Jesus began his ministry by being baptized by John and was led in the desert where he fasted 40 days. Going to his hometown of Nazareth, he made a public proclamation. Jesus chose to let the Spirit's words speak for himself. Reading directly from Isaiah 61:1 and 2, he officially declared man's rescue was at hand. This is what he read. The Spirit of the Lord God is on me. The Lord has chosen me to tell good news to the poor and to comfort those who are sad. He sent me to tell the captives and prisoners that they have been set free. He sent me to announce that the time has come for the Lord to show his kindness, when our God will also punish evil people. He has sent me to comfort those who are sad. Now, I hope you're putting yourself in this place. Jesus is in you, right? Those in Zion who mourn, I will take away the ashes on their head. I will give them a crown. No, you can't do that. I will take away their sadness, and I will give them the oil of happiness. But you can do that by proclaiming the good news of Jesus. I will take away their sorrow, and I will give them celebration clothes. He sent me to name them good trees and the Lord's wonderful plant. He starts out, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. The Lord has chosen me to tell good news to the poor and to comfort those who are sad. He sent me to tell the captives and prisoners that they have been set free. That's our assignment, all right? Luke 4:17, and he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. See, this is the Old Testament I read. Now we're reading the New Testament. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now I want to stop there, because God's telling me, I said you couldn't do certain things, but you can do all things through Christ. In other words, you can tell them about Jesus, and because you tell them about Jesus and they grab a hold of Jesus because you're anointed to tell it, then they will be set free. Then all these things will come to pass. Verse 19 says, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. In verse 20, then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Today, Jesus says, the heavens will open and the rescue begins. Now, this is all about us here tonight, all right, and what we are going to be doing for God. But Jesus said, today, the heavens will open and the rescue begins. It's already begun. Jesus stopped in the middle of Isaiah 61:2. The day of vengeance, day of the Lord, will come at a later time. All right, you understand that? A focus of his life on earth was to set the captives free, and it starts immediately. I mean, Jesus is going to come later, but right now the focus is on the lost souls. Today, the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. The fulfillment of, I'm telling you, today, tonight, the scripture should be in your hearing, all right? The fulfillment of setting the captives free, a release from darkness for those in bondage, opening blind eyes and preaching good news to those in need, a favorable year of the Lord. All of these cures by Jesus are directly related to him taking away the curse from sin. You can read that in James 8:34-36, Romans 5:12-19, and Romans 8:18-25. Now, Jesus proclaimed this truth, however, before he went to the cross. In the Old Testament, you know, it was in the Old Testament. And he proclaimed it when he was born, before he went to the cross. Today, the mission starts to set the captives free. Today is a favorable year of the Lord. The Lord did not confuse the order. We know from the above verses that Jesus is referring to his redeeming the world from sin, starting with an individual receiving Jesus by his sacrifice on the cross, set the captives free in John 3:16. Jesus very clearly explains this message a few verses later in Luke 4:43. But he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent, to preach the gospel. For this purpose you have been sent, to preach the gospel, to tell everybody you meet about Jesus and his love. In verse 44, and he was preaching in the synagogues of Galilee. In simple terms, the Lord's sacrifice at the cross and resurrection grants freedom for an individual captive by sin, and you'll find that in Romans 6:5-8. But proclaiming God's kingdom on earth initiates his master plan to liberate the entire world from darkness. And right now, whenever the gospel is being sent all over the world, right now is whenever God is bringing in the world, because of church. He's finished with the church, and now he's bringing in the world, and these are the ones that we have to minister to. All right? Now, I want you really to listen, because this is all what your assignment is all about. All right. The very day, today, Jesus was going to start proclaiming the kingdom of God, which will start to bring the Father's heavenly glory to earth. This will allow his glory to radiate on earth and bring his light to a world in darkness. That's in John 1:1-44. And you know, it's amazing. If you look at the singers, there's all kind of new songs out there. Some of them we sang today, powerful songs. I try to put them all in two services, and then I said, I can't do that. But there's some beautiful songs out there, just like we were singing. God is doing a brand new thing. The church is not going to be the same. So get ready for the change. It's already happened. It's already here. But get ready for all the other changes that God is going to perform. Now, two things will happen. Number one, individually, his light will allow a heart that has been humbled the ability to see and receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. In other words, set the captives free in John 9:25. Number two, his people, the church, will receive their authority and power in Christ to dethrone Satan, the illegitimate evil ruler of this age. This will release an entire people from the one who has been enslaving them and bringing the Lord's reign on earth, the year of the Lord's favor. And you find that in Hebrews 2:14-15, Galatians 4:8, Matthew 24:14, and Revelations 12:9-11. I think you all know that we are headed now for the second coming of Jesus Christ, and he's bringing everything into alignment so his son can come back again. And this is why this thrust for this great harvest is going on right now, because this is the last harvest before Jesus comes again. And aren't you excited that you are part of that harvest, that God's going to use you and your voice and the light in you to bring that harvest in? The word mentions how Jesus, John the Baptist, let's start again. The word mentions how Jesus, John the Baptist, the 12 apostles, the 72 disciples, and Paul diligently preached the kingdom of God. Included in their message was 1 Corinthians 1:23, "But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles." Isn't that how it's working? Look how many Jews are being saved right now. Multitude. This essential part to the kingdom message is extremely important, but being spiritually born into a heavenly kingdom is only part of the Lord's mission for Christians. The church has to fulfill the purpose of Christ. We have to accomplish our task after we are born again. Let's see what the writer of "We Preach Christ Crucified" emphasized when he proclaimed the full gospel. And we're talking about Paul. He preached Christ crucified. Acts 19:8. Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly. So you get bold when you get out there and start ministering for Christ. All right, Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. Acts 28:23. They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. From morning till evening, he explained and declared to them the king. From morning till evening, he explained to them the kingdom of God declared. And some were persuaded by the things which were spoken, and some were not. See that? So in other words, you're not going to reach everybody. There are some people that just won't ever get saved. Whenever God told me that, it really set me free. Because I thought we had to get everybody saved, but that's not going to happen. But we're not concentrating on that. We don't care if you get saved or not. We're going to go out there and preach the gospel of peace to you. Acts 23:30, because God is peace, right? Acts 23:30. For two whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house. Didn't ask you to pay for his rent. And welcomed all who came to see him. He didn't turn anybody away. Boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could just say a certain day, you know, a group of people could start a street ministry somewhere and just sit and preach the gospel? When I first came to Delaware, there was an older gentleman up at the Blue Hen Mall, and he would repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, and he'd hand out tracts. But he was there every night. Preach it, shouting that out, just like John the Baptist. He was bold. Nobody bothered him. They didn't say a word to him. They just listened. Included in this full gospel was not only Christ setting the captives free from sin by his death and resurrection, but also the church's role in liberating men from darkness. The body of Christ setting the captives free. The love and unity Christ has for his church body is beyond any earthly comprehension. The love and unity that God has for us. His love is infinite, so his love for the bride of Christ is infinite beyond measure. You know, you have to come to a place that I have come to whenever I'm really down and out. I say, God, if nobody else loves me, you do. And that brings me courage. And that, you know, and that makes me get back up again, you know. If everybody else is talking about me, running me down, you won't. Because your love is pure and you don't do those type of things. You know, and because let's face it, a lot of people talk behind your back about you. And you overhear it. And it hurts. But if you stop, it won't hurt you if you remember that God loves you more than anybody else will ever love you. Your husband leaves you, God's never going to leave you nor forsake you. If your wife leaves you, God's never going to leave you nor forsake you. If your kids get ignorant to you, God never gets ignorant to you. You see what I'm saying? If your friends, you know, abuse you, God never abuses you. And if you can get that in your spirit, you will be able to do the things that God has called you for. I didn't say you wouldn't cry sometimes. I didn't say that. But I did say you will have strength and you'll be able to go forth and do the things that God's calling you forth to do. So don't think, well, I just can't cry because Pastor Barbara says we can do this. Because you will cry. Because it hurts. But God knows that you hurt. But you will also remember that God loves you more than anybody else ever will. Ephesians 4:17 says, may your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love, and may you be able to feel and understand, as all God's children should, how long, how wide, how deep, and how high his love really is. And to experience his love for yourself, though it is so great that you will never see the end of it or fully know or understand it, and so at last you will be filled with God himself. Water doesn't help, Brad. So let's try this again. Let's read this again. Ephesians 4:17. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love, and may you be able to feel and understand, as all God's children should, how long, how wide, how deep, and how high his love really is, and to experience this love for yourself, though it is so great that you will never see the end of it or fully know or understand it, and so at last you will be filled with God himself. See, if you just get that down out of your silly head and get it down into your spirit, man, God loves me, you'd be surprised how you won't hurt anymore. All right? Come on. Now let's follow through with this truth. If we really are the body and bride of Christ and share in his heavenly reign, are we not called to share his earthly works? And you can read that in Ephesians, the answer to that in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 6, and Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Now, 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. We are God's fellow workers. So we work alongside of God. While Jesus from divine origin is the only human that can atone for our sins on the cross to make amends for our sins, and you find that in Hebrews 2:17, we share completely with his work on earth. We are his body. Mom. See, the body of Christ doesn't even know why there are the body of Christ. Somebody told them to go to church, so they went to church. Somebody said, well, you have to get born again, so they got born again. Somebody said, you have to get baptized, so they went and got dipped. But they really don't understand why they did all these things. They don't understand that you are here to work with God to bring in the harvest. The body of Christ should be in total awe of using his presence inside of us to complete his work. In other words, when you go out there in the street or you go into workplace, wherever you are, whether you're an evangelist or whatever you are, and you know, Jesus is inside of you, and that Jesus in you is just drawing the people to you, you ought to be in total awe that this is happening, that God's using your vessel to do his work. Amen? Come on. And that does happen because you're filled with the Holy Spirit. It will draw men unto you. It really will. I made that statement in here one time, and my husband said, oh, that's why I thought I was in love with you, because it's the Holy Spirit inside you, and that's what drew me. I said, oh, dear Lord. Then we had to go through that little mess, you know. That's not what I just said. Come on. Matthew 11:12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. We're in a war for souls. And we're going to have to get these. And God even told me that scripture where it says you even go down in the throes of hell and pull them out of the fire. He told me that's what you're going to be doing. You're going to be pulling them right out of the fire, right out of the furnace, to set them free. So I don't know where God's going to send you to get these souls, but it could be down into the throes of hell to be able to pull them up and set them free. Hebrews 10:12 says, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. This man is Jesus. Christ is the head, and we are his body. Thus we finish the work he has started. 2 John the Baptist, preparing the way for the second coming of Jesus, preaching the gospel, the kingdom gospel, to a lost and a dying people. When we disconnect from each other, the body dies instantly. This is the example the Holy Spirit gave to the apostles to describe his church in Ephesians 1:22. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So God put all things under his feet and gave Jesus to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Jesus came for a reason. We have a purpose in life. I've heard so many people say, I don't even have purpose. Well, Dodo, yes, you do. Your purpose is to work for God. Well, all I do is sit in a chair. Well, if that's all you do, maybe that's all God wants you to do. But you can pray while you're sitting in that chair. I want to get up and preach. Well, maybe you don't either. Maybe that chair would be really comfortable once you got up there to preach. You hear what I'm saying? 1 Corinthians 12:12, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. We are not supposed to be fragmented. We are supposed to be one body, in one mind, in one accord. Are you listening here? You're not supposed to say, well, I'm going to sit over here because I don't want to sit near this one, or I don't want to look that way. I'll turn this way so they can't look at me. That is dumb. We are the body of Christ. We're supposed to be in here in unity, one mind and one accord. And you're not supposed to be sitting in there in your seat. I wonder what she's saying about me. I wonder what they're whispering back and forth. Or, you know, so many things go on in the body of Christ are so stupid, because if we are one, then why are we fragmented? Think about that. Now, if you're here to be a vessel that God's going to work through to save the lost souls, you can't be fragmented. I never care what anybody's saying or doing. Doesn't matter tiddly to me. I have to keep my mind on Christ. Not because I preach, but just to survive, I have to keep my mind on Christ. Yeah, I'm not going to worry about what you're saying or doing. I'm really not. I'm not going to worry about whether you hurt my feelings or not. I really don't care. Because if I worry about all that, then I'm in danger of losing my salvation. Are you understanding this? So if you can get that into your little pea brain and let it go down into your heart, trickle down into your heart and get great big, then you'll say, that was a bunch of junk I just went through, wasn't it? For nothing. God loves you. That should satisfy you. I don't care if the one sits next to me can't stand to be near me. God loves me. I don't care if my husband can't stand me. God loves me. You know, we just dwell on the dumbest things, don't we? And we miss all the important things. The church is the body of Christ. Are we the church? Yes. And we have been grafted into the blessing given to Israel, which is Romans 11. Jesus has become the cornerstone for both the Jews and the Gentiles. And you can read that in Ephesians 2:19-20 and Galatians 3:27-28. Isaiah 42:6 says, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give or appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles. Why? To open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare before they spring forth, I tell you of them. The Lord just said, I will appoint you to bring prisoners from dungeons. Isn't that what we just read? There is a new way, a new church arising. We already know that because we already did this, right? We've already crossed over. Some churches haven't yet. We need to be ready, for we are about to behold the church realizing his truth. Do you understand what's going to happen when the people have been sitting in these churches all these years, all of a sudden the truth dawns on them and the wheels start going click, 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 click? We're going to have panic on our hands because they're going to be running to and fro wanting to know what they can do now, next. All right? So what you've been learning, and even though your family's come against you and belittled you and everything else, what you've been learning is for such a time as this. And then you can stand back and say, see, I told you so. But we don't do that, do we? Because we're above all that. Even though you're tempted, don't do that. All right, your heart, all right, so I sit. Let's start that again. There is a new way, a new church arising. We need to be ready, for we are about to behold the church realizing his truth. His church, his body, setting the captives free. That's what we're going to be doing. His church, his body, setting the captives free. Your heart will be set aflame when the church sets out to bring his glorious kingdom on earth. In other words, Elaine can tell you it's like you just get all excited and all on fire, right? I know I can tell you I get all excited and all on fire when I see God doing something. Probably the rest of you do too. But you're going to be set on fire. That's why God's been putting the fire in us, because he wants to ignite that fire so he can send us forth to do his works. All right, your heart will be set aflame when the church sets out to bring his glorious kingdom on earth. Our hearts will explode with his presence and mission. There will be a great purpose in our heart through Christ to free those in dungeons and darkness. Now we understand the church, his body, is given the responsibility to complete the work of setting the captives free. God looked down and saw his own cowering underneath a type of grid where Satan had authority over them. Excuse me. They were in bondage, and you'll find that in Romans 6:6. Jesus came and set the captives free. They knew this in their mind. They knew that Jesus came and set the captives free, but still cowered when the devil walked over them. The devil did not want them to discover the locks are gone. We have authority and power in Christ over the works of the devil. Isaiah 51:14, the cowering prisoners will soon be set free. They will not die in their dungeon, nor will they lack bread. Isaiah 49:8, this is what the Lord says, I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people to restore the land, to say to the captives, come out, and to those in darkness, be free. Again, the Lord is saying to his people, say to the captives, come out, and to those in darkness, be free. Question, do these following two teachings from his word give us enough authority and power to set the captives free? Now, Ephesians 2:6, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. In the second scripture, Ephesians 1:19, his incomparably great power for us who believe, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him far above all rule and authority. Now, the Lord talking to all who are in him tells us to say to the captives, come out, and to those in darkness, be free. That's why when we're doing deliverance, we say, come out in the name of Jesus. Might not know where you got that from, but that's what that's birthed in you whenever God sets you in your ministry. Now, whenever because I know this has happened to me, you can be sitting quietly someplace and you can see a demon manifesting in somebody, and you can quietly look at that person and saying it to yourself, in the name of Jesus, I command you to come out of them and set them free. And all of a sudden their countenance will change and they will be different people. That's your job. That's what you're supposed to be doing. One night when we was, Larry and I were on, on evangelizing in Pennsylvania, that is a one witchcraft, one demon-possessed town, place up there. It just wasn't one town. We went to bed that night, and Larry said, would you please sleep on the edge of the bed? I want to sleep next to the wall. And I thought, what's going on here? But see, and so anyway, let me finish. So I was laying there, and I thought, something's not right. So I turned and looked, and Here was three little demons standing alongside of my bed. I said, what do you think you're doing standing beside my bed? Get out of here in the name of Jesus. They said, we're not after you, we're after him. And I said, you can't have him. Get out in the name of Jesus. And they said, we have to leave, but we're going to come back and get him. And they left. And then Larry told me he saw them demons follow him all through that house. The demons were in that house. And because he wasn't strong in the Lord at that point, they could attack him. But you know, I could see him with my two eyes. There they were, three of them. They said, we can't get you. We're not after you, but we're after him. Poor Larry. I felt so sorry for him. I didn't know he'd been tormented. He said, I've been chasing him away all day, but they wouldn't leave. But, you know, see, this is where we have to be in unity, one mind and one accord. We can't be afraid to tell somebody, you know, there's something here and you need to help me pray. We need to do that. You're not a loner. We're one body, right? And we need to work as one body. We have the authority and power in Christ to set the captives free. Our task of preaching, is that where I'm at? Yeah, our task of preaching, seizing his kingdom in heaven and binding or loosening Satan's darkness on earth has always been a part of God's plan to liberate darkness on earth and set the captives free. It's always been his plan. This freedom from bondage that comes by bringing in his kingdom and will on earth in Matthew 6:10 will include setting hearts free from darkness and physical bodies from sickness and any satanic affliction on earth. We will set the captives free because that's what we were sent here to do. Now, I hope you understand that tonight. You weren't sent here just to fill the room with your air or to sit in a chair. You were here to set the captives free. I want you to get that tonight because this is what's going to be happening to you now. God's going to be sending people to you. Or sending you to people, either way, and your job is to set them free through the Holy Spirit. We don't want to imply in any way that for season Satan's wrath will be easy for believers when he is dethroned, because Christians advance the kingdom of God. In Matthew 24:1, Revelations 12:7 through 12, and Revelation 3:13-10, you can read that. That is why the word says we must be ready, watching, surrendered, in heart, knowingly aware of our weaknesses, so we can be praying now for strength to endure. Read that statement again. That is why the word says we must be ready, watching, surrendered in heart, knowingly aware of our weaknesses, so we can be praying now for strength to endure. And this is what God has been doing with us, hasn't he? Given us strength whenever we come up to the altar, so you can endure and so you can do the things that he knows that you're going to come in contact with. The church to finish his work. Ephesians 4:8. Wherefore, he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. When the Lord ascended to heaven after the resurrection, he captured those who were in captivity, set the captives free, and gave gifts to men. Now, these gifts were offices or positions to build up the body of Christ. Ephesians 4:9 through 10 says, now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth? He went down into hell. Is also he who ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. When Jesus went down into hell, fought Satan for 3 days and 3 nights, then he ascended back up to heaven, sat down in his rightful place, gave us power and authority to work on in his name. All right? When Jesus descended, he brought the saints up from captivity, Hades, into a heavenly abode. And you can see that in Luke 16:19 through 31, Romans 6:8 through 10. The glory of God will fill all things when the church pursues bringing his kingdom on earth, which is Psalms 57:11 and Matthew 6:10. The glory of God will fill all things when the church pursues bringing his kingdom on earth, when we start preaching the kingdom of God. Jay Bartlett never, ever starts deliverance until he preaches the word. Now he started his own church, too. Ephesians 4:11 and 12, and he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to building up of the body of Christ. The whole purpose of leadership, now listen to this, the whole purpose of leadership is to spiritually build up the body of Christ to advance the kingdom of God, not our own ministry. All right? Ephesians 4:13, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. We have to attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man. He's not going to send an immature person out there to preach the gospel. Jesus set the captives free and gave gifts to the church to attain the full measure of Christ. By a unity in our calling, his body will continue to set the captives free, bringing in the holiness, fullness of Christ on earth. Ephesians 1:9 through 10 says, and he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, which is even Christ. The reason why God invited us up into the third heaven and told us to stay there is because he wants us to be one with him, and he wants us to have his full power and authority to go forth and minister his gospel. All right? Jesus said to the secrets of the kingdom of God have been made known to you in Luke 8:10. This is such an honor. In order to achieve the fullness of Christ, we have to apply his biblical principles, not our teachings, but his biblical principles. This is called surrender, and we have to search our hearts before the Lord to see if we are hanging on to the traditions taught by men. Find that out Mark 7:8. The church must become as one and march in unity to defeat Satan and his armies. And that you'll find that in Matthew 11:12. The church must become as one and march in unity to defeat Satan and his enemies. A house divided will fall. Isn't that what the word tells us? So a church divided will fall. So we have to be, and God's been working really hard to get this church in unity, in one mind and one accord. And he told me years ago, you know, he has shaken this church many times, it's pitiful. And one time he said, I'm going to shake it again. I said, what is there to shake? He said, I'm going to shake it down to a handful, and with that small handful is what I'm going to build my kingdom with. And this is what God has done here. He has shaken us down to a small handful of true believers, faithful believers, people want to walk in unity, one mind and one accord. And now just wait and see what God's going to do. And Isaiah 49:9 says, to say to the captives, come out, and to those in darkness, be free. It's time that the world is liberated through you and I. It is time that we start setting the captive free. It's time that we get finished with our old stupid thought life and we get the mind of Christ and stay steadfast in the calling that God has upon your life and quit vacillating back and forth, but stay where God has planted you in him and do the works that he's calling you forth to do. Don't try to be somebody else. Don't try to do the same thing somebody else is doing. So who are you trying to become? Be you. Be your personality. That's God uses your personality to win people. I've always been a serious person all my life, and that's why God could use me the way he does, because I'm just serious. And little Gabriel, he is about as foolish as they come. He loves to tell you jokes he jokes around all the time. And this is good. This is good because that's his personality. He said, why are you always so serious? Why don't you laugh? I said, well, I just don't see the things funny that you see. But that's his personality, and that's good. I need that in my life. So, you know, I don't want to be him, and he doesn't want to be me because I'm too serious. So you guys, just be you. We love you for who you are. We really do. Well, I don't have a mouse in my pocket. God and I love you for who you really are. And he called you just as you are. And he's been cleaning you up, and he's placed you into places. I'm hearing him say he's placed you in heavenly places with him. And now he wants to do great and powerful things through you. Amen. I hope this teaching did what it was supposed to do. I hope it made you understand that you're just not here just to write books or fill a hole in a church somewhere, but you're here to set the captives free. Father, I thank you and I praise you for this teaching. I thank you, Father God, for the people who sat diligently and listened carefully to what you had to say. And I thank you, Father, that the seed has been planted, and it's a good seed that's going to take root and produce much, much fruit in your kingdom. And now, Father God, I'm just asking it right now that you just shower upon each and every one of them, the bless every blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Father God, supply them with their needs so they can go forth and do your works for you. Whatever they have need of, Father God, to fulfill their ministry, I'm asking you to do it for them right now.